I kind of already knew the message for tonight. The Lord had different plans. You know, there are times in every minister's life, every pastor's life, every teacher, and I'm a teacher, that you do a message that you're not looking forward to delivering, but it's a message that needs to be delivered nevertheless. And tonight is one of those lessons. So, and it's a message that it's not only for us, but it's also for us to take out of here, to take with us. Because there are going to be folks who need to hear this, who don't watch us, who never heard of this place. But it's still a message, nevertheless, that I really think they need to hear. And the title of the message is Satan Wants Influential Voices. Satan wants influential voices. Okay? I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13, but I'm going to turn to to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read something out of the Amplified. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, first of all, then I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior. And this is what I want you to focus on. Who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. Okay? In Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to read that out and amplify it also, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said unto the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? Okay? So we see that God's heart's desire is for us to pray for our leaders. And his heart's desire is also for every man to come to a knowledge of the truth. Not just a knowledge of, but a knowledge, accurate truth is what he's looking for. He wants us to be able to take his word and accurately know what it means. On the other hand, Satan raises questions in our minds about what God's word says. And when he raises questions in our minds about what God says, and if we don't have that firm foundation, then we begin to believe that what God's word really says is not truly what it says, because we start to think about God's word, frame God's word in a way that helps us do what we want to do. Okay? Satan wants influential voices. In Acts chapter 13, look at verse 6. It's a record you've read before, but we're going to look at it again. We're going to look at several records in short order tonight. If I can get my notes to behave. Man, you just can't get good help in notes sometimes. In Acts chapter 13, verse 6, it reads, and when they had gone through the isles of Pathos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. In order to be a false prophet, at one time you had to be a true prophet. He is now a false prophet, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So you see that this false prophet had the ear of the leadership. Okay? He had the ear of the leadership. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy. What was he going to turn him away from? The faith. He did not want Sergius Paulus to know about the faith. He did not want Sergius Paulus to know what God really had in mind. He did not want them to hear the Apostle Paul. Okay? Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind and seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell a mist on him, a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed and being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Did what he see astonish him? No, it was the doctrine of the Lord. The truth of God's word is what astonished him. Okay? So we see here in Acts chapter 13 that Satan had a man in place who was influencing the leader of this country, okay, this island, which was part of the Roman Empire. Okay? Now turn to Galatians chapter 2. Another record we're all familiar with, beginning with verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him, I being Paul, withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So you see how Satan had in Peter's mind that he can live in both, he can live in both worlds. In this particular instance, Peter was saved. So he was now a member of the kingdom of God. Okay? But those of the circumcision were still trying to live by the law. And so Peter was trying to please both of them. And the only reason he would do that is because of the influences from the enemy of the soul. That's what I call Satan, the enemy of the soul. And the other Jews disassembled likewise. See, Peter was in a position of leadership. So what Peter did, people looked at, other people did, as you see here in verse 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Now, I want you to remember this verse 14, okay? Because, see, Paul said, when I saw that they did not walk, that he did not walk rightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, which we believe in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no man be justified. So we see here in this record that Peter was in a position of leadership, and the enemy of the soul had convinced him that when he is not around the leadership from Jerusalem, because Jews who came in to see what was going on, he acted one way when he was not around the leadership, and then he acted a different way when they came in. Okay? And Paul says, no, that doesn't work. Okay? So you can see how Satan was trying to influence Peter to walk two different ways, and you can't do that. Okay? Look at another one. Look in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, look at verse 23. In verse 23, it says, and they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Jesus had said that one of you were going to betray me, okay, this night, because this was the Last Supper. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now, When the word says there was strife, that lets you know that there was a spiritual influence involved. Because whenever you read the word strife, strife always has a starting point. And it's usually within the realm of the soul, realm of the emotions. And who pushes buttons in the realm of the emotions and soul? Satan. Push, push, push. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise leadership over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. I want you to catch what Jesus is saying. I know that those who are sitting at meat are of the highest rank, but they are depending on the servers to serve them. Jesus is saying, I am serving. And what is Jesus serving? Jesus served the kingdom of God. Okay? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed me. What is he talking about? They're going to be in leadership positions. Okay? That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, he's aiming his statement at Simon, but it's about all of the apostles. Satan wants all of them. And when he says sift them as wheat, he wanted to separate them from the truth that they were hearing and get them away from the truth that they were hearing. Okay? That's because when you sift wheat, you shake it, you stir it, you agitate it to find out what's really wheat and then what's the chaff. And so Satan then, Jesus is saying, Satan really wants you to walk away from everything you've heard from me these past 3.5 years. That's why he wants to sift you, because he does not want you to continue once I'm gone. Okay? And look what Jesus said, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that the Father will protect you, that he will cover you under his wings, that he will keep the enemy of the soul off of you. No. He said that thy faith fail not. Thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Okay? So we see here again how the enemy of the soul is trying to get a hold of leadership so he can have a voice to speak through. One more. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 18. This I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Okay? Holding faith, of having a firm grip on faith and a good conscience. Okay? In other words, you have a firm grip on faith and you don't disagree with your conscience. That new man on the inside that Romans talks about in chapter 2, verses 13, 14, and 15, that your conscience will either accuse or excuse what you're doing. So he is saying you hold faith and a good conscience. In other words, you don't disagree with your conscience. You don't disagree with that check of your spirit, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, or of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So we see that these were two folks in leadership position who were starting, as the Word of God says, to shipwreck people's faith. Okay, to shipwreck people's faith. This is not the fun part. This is the part that's not any fun, or that I'm not really looking forward to, because I'm going to mention three people. Two of them you know real well, and the third is a newbie in a sense of in terms of having influence. When I talk about the things I'm going to talk about, You're going to look at me and say, okay, Barry, who are you? You know, you don't have a church. You know, you don't have a congregation. You don't have a following. These individuals have huge followings. These individuals have people who listen to them. You, who listens to you, Barry? I only have one thing to my credit, that when my father tells me to do something, I do my best to do it. That's the only thing I have to my credit, okay? And it's going to be very important that we understand that. Pope Francis, he said, we, the Catholic Church, must shake off an obsession with teachings on abortion, contraceptions, and homosexuality, or risk the collapse of its entire moral edifice, like a house of cards. The Pope said that if we continue to focus on those three things, abortion, homosexuality, and contraception, we are going to become irrelevant. It's the bottom line. We might as well not even do it because we're not keeping up with the times. We're focusing on things that, now listen to me, we are focusing on things that are now common in society. This is the way the world works. So why are we going to continue to make these things issues for the church? It's because God's word makes it an issue. That's why. And Pope Francis, no disrespect, but you were wrong when you said that. You were wrong. And that's why the first scripture that I read, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, you pray for your leaders. I'm praying for Pope Francis right now. That's what I do. Because, see, remember on Sunday, I said that we have the kind of government, the world we have, because Christians have given it to us. If more of us would pray instead of criticize, we'd get some things done in this country, okay? Vanderbilt University. Vanderbilt University has been called by many the Harvard of the South. That's how prestigious it is, okay? Vanderbilt University chose a lesbian to head their divinity school. Okay? Now, remember, the whole point of my message tonight is Satan wants influential voices. Okay? Vanderbilt has influence, especially in the South. And when this sort of thing happens, it gets noticed. Okay? I want to read a little bit to you. One of the biggest controversies in the faith-based community today is that involving lesbianism. So you can only imagine the surprise when Vanderbilt University announced that it was appointing a vocal lesbian woman to run its divinity school. Now, we know that divinity school is not just focused on Christianity, but it's focused on all religions, okay? But the point is still the same. It's she now has a voice, ladies and gentlemen, that she never had before she was appointed dean, okay? Emily Towns is a clergywoman who happens to be also gay. The school recently announced that Towns is going to be the leader of the programs that relate to all forms of religion. And this is a quote: "We recognize the rights of lesbians and gay men within the religious community, and the need for the eradication of civil discrimination based on sexual orientation." Do you see how, with this statement about we recognize the eradication of civil discrimination, how the enemy of the soul is trying to tie this to doing what is right, to doing what is godly? Okay? I want you to pay attention to that. Based on sexual orientation, the school says on its commitment page, this commitment involves the exploration in the curriculum of lesbian and gay concerns, as well as affirmation and support of gay and lesbian people within our community. And I'm going to turn to, and you don't have to, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be separated from salvation, is what he is saying. Okay? Let him be separated from salvation. So we see here that this exploration of curriculum is an altered gospel. Now, Towns is Baptist and considered a pioneering scholar in the field of womanist theology. And she made this statement. I still have a hard time reading this one. She says, I am excited about becoming part of this slice of God's cloud of witnesses. Now, you all know what God's cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, these were men and women who stood for God in the face of all sorts of evils, so that the word of God would stand firm. She's saying, I'm excited about becoming part of this slice of God's cloud of witnesses as we shape ourselves into being responsive to holding traditions and the future together. And then she says, not out of a sense that traditions are static, but an appreciation for the fact that they are dynamic and actually morph and change, though slowly. What is she saying, ladies and gentlemen? She's saying God's word changes with societal mores and viewpoints. We decide what God's word means for us today. That's what she's saying. Now, let me tell you what she's also saying to those of us who believe what Scripture says. And for those of you stuck in believing what the Bible says, you need to change with us. Come on. Become relevant. That's what she's saying. She's saying that traditions are static, but now they're starting to change. Everything you used to believe what the Bible said is starting to change to catch up with society. Okay? Towns is married to a female partner, and her partner is also a faculty member of the school, the Divinity School, and spoke about her marriage. Her partner is also a professor of religious study at Vanderbilt. I want you to listen to what she says. Remember, we're talking about people who now have an influential voice. My partner and I are both clear that we do not conform to the standard text of marriage. Do you hear this? She's saying that we know that we are in disagreement with God's word. We know that. And yet, she is now the dean of the Divinity School. Okay? It gets better. But, Father, help me. But we want to find ways to breathe new air and life into what it means to be married, not only by the state, but even more so in the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we want to breathe new air and life into what it means to be married in the eyes of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to tell the Holy Spirit, you need to get relevant. Because you don't agree with us. But now, this is how it is now. You need to get relevant. As a Christian social ethicist with womanistic leanings, she says, I am clear that the Bible says precious little about same-sex marriage. Oh, really? Though it appears to have a bit more to say about acts, but even that is muddled. I'm going to read one thing to you, two things, real quick. Matthew chapter 19. When the Pharisees were approaching Jesus about divorce, Jesus says, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? God, yeah, Jesus had a lot to say about same-sex marriage. Okay? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, and the Lord just tied this in for me today. He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according, with them being your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. You are heirs together, you husbands and you wives. Why are you heirs together? That your prayers be not hindered. Do you see that? So let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. All of those individuals who are in same-sex relationships, do you think their prayers are being hindered? Oh, yeah, they are being hindered. They are not being answered by my Father. They may be answered by the God of this world, but it's not being answered by my Father. I am also clear that although God judges our acts, God does so out of love and mercy and would much rather spend holy time applauding our attempts at humanity than smiting our behavior. Now, I'm just a little country boy from Tennessee, but if God judges your acts, is that not your behavior? I'm just a little country boy. I'm not the brightest person, you know? Right. No. She is admitting that God judges your acts, and he applauds our attempts at humanity. No, he does not, because humanity is corrupted. God does not applaud us being corrupted. Scripture tells us we live by who we have become. Okay? This is a lady, ladies and gentlemen, who has a voice. And this voice is being used by the enemy of the soul. And she's saying everything that the enemy of the soul wants her to say. And she has people who are listening to her and will listen to her. I am now praying for the dean of the Divinity School at Vanderbilt, because I want God to intercede in her life and turn the light on, because the light is not turned on right now. Turn that light on so that she can influence the way God wants her to influence. This next one, and this is the last one, this is the one that I think I have the most heartache over, because of who he is and because of the influence that he has. Over 1 million homes, he hears his message every week. Over 48 million download his audio and video podcast every week. He has a congregation of 38,000 people. 7 million watch his broadcast each week. Okay? And I'm talking about Joel Osteen. I had read this article a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking at a webpage and saw it again, and this is what God told me. He says, when you read this article, you're going to see a primer for establishing a mega church. You're going to see it. So if you want to, those of you who are watching me right now, if you want to establish a mega church, you need to stop what you're doing and listen to me. Okay? Joel Osteen was interviewed by the Huffington Press because of a new book he has coming out called, Breakout: 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. Okay? In a recent interview with Huffington Press, megachurch speaker and author Joel Osteen advised that, I want you to hear, he believes God accepts homosexual. He doesn't say the word God says. He says he believes God accepts homosexuals. Now, if you want to establish a megachurch, this is important. And that he doesn't want to tell everybody what they're doing wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, you were here on Sunday, okay? My message on Sunday would not be preached in his church. It just wouldn't, because my message on Sunday was about separating, being different from the world, telling the world you're wrong when you are disobeying God, okay? Now I want to read something to you. I want to, out of the Amplified, is 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to read this out of the Amplified. The only reason that I'm sharing this is because it's already public, so it's not anything new. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by, in light of this, his coming and his kingdom. Verse 2. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcomed or unwelcomed. You, as a preacher of the word, are to show people in what ways their lives are wrong. This is from the Amplified. And convince them, rebuking and correcting and warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome doctrine. And the kind of message that Joel Osteen preaches is a feel-good message. And he's not the only one. He's not the only one. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God says this is a primer for a mega church. You look at a mega church, you look at T.D. Jakes, look at anyone else, this fits. This fits, okay, what God says about Joel Osteen. You know I'm going to take a lot of heat on this one, don't you? I'm going to take heat on this message tonight because there are a lot of folks out there, and you probably hear me, who like Joel Osteen, who just can't wait to buy his books, who can't wait to get his little podcast, who can't wait to hear his little sayings, what he got to say. But you know what? When it comes to this world, I'm already dead. I'm already dead. Because I died to this world when Jesus saved me. I'm already dead. So you think I care about what's going to happen as a result of this message? No, I don't. They will gather, for the time is coming when people will not tolerate sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying. They will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. And as for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. And see, when you do the work of your ministry, when you are listening to your Heavenly Father, when you are doing what He asked you to do, you're going to have people who are going to be upset with you every time you deliver a message. Every time. Because they're not going to want to hear what you're telling them. Especially if they want to continue to do what they're doing. Okay? Now, the person who's interviewing him, he says, you say here, talking about in his book, it doesn't matter who likes you or doesn't like you. All that matters is that God likes you. Number two, if you want to establish a mega church, he accepts you, he approves you. So you get the message out that you are a pastor, and that it's not going to tell anybody that they're doing wrong when it comes to Scripture, that it's going to tell everybody that God accepts you, that he approves you. You're on your way to a mega church. I wrote here, Scripture talks about God's unconditional love. I have never read anything in Scripture about God liking anything. Okay? But I've read a lot about God not liking certain things that we do. Okay? And so, Zepp stated, reading from Osteen's book, is that true for gay men or true for homosexual, about God accepting them and God approving them? Absolutely. What's Joel Osteen's response? Then he says, I believe that God breathed life into every person. I got news for you. God did not breathe life into Son of Sam. God did not breathe life into Adolf Hitler. God did not breathe life into Idi Amin. I got news for you. That is a false, no. That is a lie. You have just lied on my father. So that is a lie. He has not breathed life into every single human being. You want to know how I know that? It's easy. Go to the Word of God. Genesis. It's in Genesis chapter 5. And I'm just going to read a little bit. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years. Now, was this after he was kicked out of the garden or before? This is after. And Adam lived 130 years and beget a son in God's likeness. No, he beget a son in his own likeness. Adam's likeness was a sin nature. Okay, in his own likeness after his image. Not after Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 image. After Adam's image, which was a corrupted sin nature. God did not breathe life into every human being. The only thing God did, he created mankind. After that, mankind made some decisions that are no longer in the same ballpark with God. I believe that God breathed his life into every person. We are all on a journey. Nobody's perfect. Megachurch principle number 3. Okay? The Bible says that sin is pride. This is Joel Osteen. And sin is selfish ambition. We tend to pick on certain things, he says. But I believe every person is made in the image of God. What did we just read? We just read that every person is made in the image of Adam. He's part of Adam's species, not God's species. Okay? I believe every person is made in the image of God, and you've got to accept them as they are, as they're on their journey. You know, I am so glad that I know better than that, because God accepted Barry, but God refused to let Barry stay the way he was. He refused. And I don't have 38,000 people. I don't have a new $97 million complex. I have God's word. That's what I have, ladies and gentlemen. And that's all that matters. Okay? Osteen then explained his belief that Christians should exemplify kindness. I agree. To the world, rather than pushing people down. Rather than, what he's saying, giving them the word. Again, scripture teaches that teaches the way people are going to know his disciples is for our love for one another. And that is true. Our love for one another. Our love for other members of the family. When Jesus made that statement, he was not talking about our love for the sinners. He was saying, your love, they will know you love me because you love each other. You love your other brothers and sisters in the family. Because I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There is no way I can love someone who is not part of my family the way I love my family. Okay? Okay? Because see, I'll do things for Judy. She's part of my family. But I'm not going to do for somebody who's not. That's just the way it works. That is the way it works. Okay? And so, I'm not preaching hate or pushing down, he stated, I'm not here to tell everybody what they're doing is wrong. You know, he really said that over and over and over. Doesn't Galatians chapter 6 say, if you have a brother who's in a fault, you need to let him know that he's in that fault, and then you need to help him get out of that fault? But how can you do that if you're not willing to tell your brother he's wrong? Remember, I'm just a little country boy from Tennessee. Only thing I know is I believe what I read. Okay? Osteen was later asked if he believes unbelievers can go to heaven. He replied that he believes Scripture states that Christ is the way, but that he is not the judge of who is allowed to enter. See, what he's saying is that I'm not the one who judges who goes to heaven or not. So I'm not going to preach a gospel that convicts you to get you to see whether or not you are going to heaven. Okay? If you want a mega church, that's number 4. Okay? As a Christian pastor, and I don't believe that one, okay? He may be a pastor of a church. But if Christ and the things of this word is what defines a Christian, I wouldn't say a Christian pastor. I would say a pastor of a mega church. The only thing in Scripture that I can see that, as a Christian pastor, the only thing in Scripture that I see is that a relationship with Jesus would get you to heaven. And I'm thinking, hold up. Can I be blunt? What if the relationship you have with Jesus sucks? Are you going to heaven? I don't think so. I don't think so. If you don't have a good relationship with Jesus, you're not going to heaven. So just having a relationship is not enough. It's got to be a relationship that's intimate, a relationship that's starting to get on the same page that Jesus is on. No, just any relationship doesn't work. You can ask Doris, my wife. Just any relationship with her doesn't work. She has to know that I love her. She has to know that I will protect her. That's part of that relationship. It, you know, that's just part of it is, okay? I'm sure there are parts of Alice's relationship with Sean that it just can't just be any kind. There are certain things that that relationship requires. Same thing with Jesus. There are certain things that that relationship requires. Now, do you have to be a certain denomination or something like that? I don't know that. Yes, you do. Scripture says, there is no denomination at all. You are either in Christ or you're not. But I do know that I'm not the judge of who gets into heaven. In other words, I'm not going to tell you where you're wrong. What I see in Scripture is that you have to have a relationship with Jesus. That's why he came. Someone who believes in the monkey god is not going to heaven then. He's talking about the 1.2 million Indians in the world and anyone who practices polytheism. I don't claim to understand who's all going to heaven. Scripture is clear who's going to heaven and who's not. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, believe that God, that he died and God raised him from the dead, ticket on the train to heaven. If you don't believe that, your ticket is not going to be punched for the train to heaven. I just believe. And I just noticed how he kept saying, I believe. I just believe and teach in all my messages that when you have a relationship with Christ, that's the reason why he came, to have a relationship with him. That is the guarantee for heaven. People don't all believe like me. Praise God. They see it bigger. He had, I believe God's mercy is very big. I thank God I'm not the judge of who gets to come. Only he can, but that's the way I see it. Notice, he didn't say that's what the word says. Everything was how he sees it. I have a confession to make. I will never have a mega church. Because, you know, like I told you on Sunday, I only have one job, and that is to seek and save the lost. Get as many people out of hell as I can. on their way to hell that I possibly can do. And when that is your goal and that is your mission, you won't have a mega church. I can take Joel Osteen's church in 3 months. I have it down to 10,000. Give me another 3 months, it'll be 5. Because I'm going to tell them the truth, and their itching ears are not going to want to hear that, and they're going to want to leave. Or they're going to reach over to talk to Pastor Osteen. Why did you let him come in and preach? I want to close, and I'm going to read it out of the King James this time. And this is what I opened up with. Because even though I have a lot of concern about what Joel Osteen is preaching, the main thing that I want you to take away tonight is that he is a leader in the body of Christ, a very influential leader. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That is my prayer for Pastor Osteen, that he would come to an accurate knowledge of God's truth and that he would be willing to stand up and preach it. Because, see, Jesus said, if you stand in the same shoes that I stand in, people are not going to like you. This is how Barry's saying it. If they have abused and talked about the teacher, they're going to abuse and talk about the pupils. That'd be us. Okay? 100 years is not a long time on this side of glory when you talk about eternity. And like I said on Sunday, when I'm standing before my Father, I want him to say, you did good. You did good. I'm proud of you. Now I want you to come in and enjoy, okay? Enjoy the treasure that you laid up for me because of the stand you took for me while you were here. Praise God.